you have your Bibles, would you stand with me this morning? I want to continue what we started last week. Questions that we have of God. We started last week with the question, why don't I always feel God's presence? And we talked about the fact that maybe we over-sensationalize our relationship and we're always looking for the Holy Ghost goosebump, or we're looking for the wind or the fire or the earthquake. And sometimes God speaks through nature, and God's presence speaks through a still small voice. We talked about the fact that we sometimes are distracted and many other things. And this morning, I want to ask the question. I want you to think about the question. And as with last week, I can't give you the definitive answer. My responsibility here is to present some biblical examples, some biblical knowledge, and have you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But why doesn't God always answer my prayer? Why doesn't God always answer my prayer? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7, reading down through verse 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure, concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. God, I thank you for this wonderful family, Lord God. I thank you for the worship service, God. I thank you that we've been reminded, Lord God, that you are faithful, God. Not only are you faithful, but great is your faithfulness, Lord God. Father, Lord God, that you are amazing, Lord God, and that you have everything in the palm of your hand. And Father, I just ask you right now as we look into your word and as we ask this question, Lord God, why? Why does it feel like sometimes our prayers aren't answered? God, I pray that you'd stir inside each one of us and begin, Lord God, to open our eyes and to open our hearts and open our minds to what you have for us, God, that when we leave the house, that, Lord, we would truly be able to say that it was good to be in Father's house. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In your precious and holy name, amen. You may be seated this morning. We already talked a little bit about Mother's Day and the fact my great failure yesterday of forgetting my mom's gift. But I want to share with you, I came across this list a few years ago, and I try to share two or three things from it every year because it's funny and it's true at the same time. But everything I know, my mother taught me. Thank you, Miss Lori. Everything I know, my mother taught me was the title. I'm not saying that. That's the title of the list, okay? But just listen. Everything I know, my mother taught me. My mother, she taught me about logic. Well, how did she teach me about logic? I'm sure you've heard this before. Because I said so. That's all the logic I ever needed in this world. Because I said so. It's not like, but. There's no buts. There's no ifs and buts. Because I said so. How about this one? My mother taught me about irony. Quit your crying, or I'll give you something to cry about or for, right? And I'm like, Mom, that makes no sense. I'm already crying. I don't need anything to cry about. Do you not understand, Mom? These are real tears. I don't need anything else to cry about. Jen's taught the boys about weather. She opens the door to their room and she says things like, it looks like a tornado, cyclone, or hurricane hit this room. How about my mother taught me about behavioral modification and genetics? Quit acting like your father. And then lastly this morning, my mother taught me about justice and fairness. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Really, Mom? Mom, I know. I love you, Jake. Mom, I know. Come on, Mom. Really, I deserve that? She said, Art, you deserve worse than that. But on Mother's Day, we can't say enough good things about our moms, can we? But we're going to try. And God help us if we don't. Some of you will get that just a moment. Jen just got it. Right? Because Bishop already said it. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. He has another saying, and that I've kind of stolen it. He knows right where I'm going. He's already smiling. But when he's talking about Miss Sonia, he says something like this. He says, what Sonia wants, Sonia gets, right? And that's the same way over at the parsonage. What Jen wants most of the time, right? Probably 99. Josh is agreeing with me already. He knows it's true. What Jen wants, Jen gets. It's just the way it is because we happy wife, happy life. Come on now. Help me out this morning. Help me. If you help me preach, I won't be as long. How's that sound? I mean, you're going to help me to preach now. I can tell it already. But we're looking here this morning, and as I said, I want to talk. Well, there's some questions that even as children of God that we often ask is that, you know, God, why don't I always feel you? We talked about that last week, and this morning we're going to talk about, God, why does it seem like sometimes you don't hear my prayers or you don't answer my prayers? And next week I want to attack the question, why do bad things happen to good people, and why do bad things happen to, why do hard things and difficult things happen to good people? But today, let's think about this. Why does it seem like that God doesn't always answer my prayers? And especially when you kind of look at scripture and you do what a lot of us do, and I include myself, because sometimes we're going to take scripture kind of out of context because we have a want or we have a need, and so we find a verse of scripture that fits that want and fits that need. In John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. And we say, well, I asked for a new truck in the name of Jesus. Why don't I have a new truck? Right? And because we're taking that out of context. We do that. We pick and we pull from scripture. And we think about the fact, well, I read through scripture, and there was a time that Joshua needed the sun to stand still because he needed it to be daylight for a while so that he could win a battle. And he prayed, and it's like the, like, what, we don't know if the sun, what happened if the earth stopped spinning or, and if that happened, then that's a miracle that all the human beings stayed on the earth at that time because gravity would have just thrown everybody off. Or we don't know if somehow, some way God made it so that that day was extremely long. The daylight on that day was extremely long, and so God did that. Or we see where Daniel was praying, and he got thrown into a den of lions, and we know the old Jewish song all night long. Those lions never took a bite. Why? Because God took away their appetite. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care that the good Lord won't relieve it. And so we see where God shut the mouth of the lions. We see just a few chapters earlier in Daniel where God let Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into a fire that was heated so hot that when they opened the door, it blew the door off and killed the guards. It was heated seven times hotter than before. But when they came out, the hair wasn't singed and you didn't smell smoke on their clothes. And so God, you answered that prayer. Or you can go over into Kings where Elijah prayed and said, God, it can't rain. And the Bible says for 42 months it didn't rain. And then all of a sudden God changes Elijah's mind and now he wants it to rain. And he sends his servant up the hill seven times. And on the seventh time he says, I see the cloud the size of a man's hand, and then it began to downpour. And so God answers all of those prayers. Why can't he heal my child? Let's just be real, right? Why can't he find me a job? Why can't he? And I dare to say, if you've served God for any length of time and you've offered up any number of prayers, that at some point in time in your relationship with God, you felt like he didn't answer your prayer. But I'd like to maybe submit an edit to the question, a revision to the question. And I'd like to maybe submit it in this way. Maybe he didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted him to answer your prayer. Because maybe you wanted, and I don't mean to walk on anybody's theology today, but maybe you wanted your grandfather healed. And maybe God gave him the ultimate healing instead of an earthly healing. God answered your prayer. Just didn't answer it the way that you expected it or you wanted it to be answered. And so today I want to look at four reasons, four hindrances to our prayers not being answered. And reason number one is that maybe you have a broken relationship. And I know our cross is kind of back here this morning, but how many of you know that there's two parts to the cross, right? There's a vertical and there's a horizontal. And the vertical represents our relationship with God, but the horizontal represents our relationship with fellow man. Okay? And maybe our vertical relationship is, we think it's good. That I love God and I'm serving God and I've confessed my sin. But we have some horizontal problems. Mark chapter 11, verses 24 and 25 says, therefore, I say to you that whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. First John chapter 4 and verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. That's not me. That's not Pastor Art's word. That's the word of God. That if you say you love God, but you hate a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people that we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? What is God saying in those two particular portions of Scripture? In my humble opinion, I believe what he's saying is this, that God says that your horizontal relationship impacts your vertical relationship. In fact, Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 says, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. But those are all kind of generic scenarios. They're not real specific. But let me just read you something specific that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 7. He said this. He says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. That's a good verse, right, for Mother's Day? You must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are. We'll just skip over that. But she is your eternal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so that your prayers will not be hindered. You ever known Mr. Spiritual Guy? Mr. Spiritual Guy, he's the guy that stands on the corner and shouts out. He comes to church and he has a connect group in his home and he's teaching. He says, I'm a Sunday school teacher. In fact, praise God, I'm teaching my 25th edition on the book of Revelation. I'm not just a Sunday school teacher. I'm a Bible scholar. But yet, when nobody's around, he's a first-class jerk to his family. And maybe you don't like that word, but that's okay. Love me anyways. He's a first-class to his family. He's arrogant, and he's mean, and he's rotten. He's different behind closed doors than he is in public. He's put on a facade. He's put on a mask. He looks different. Maybe some of you thinking some people right now. Don't judge. Erase that from your mind, please. But he comes to church and people come to him to get advice and people come to him to get wisdom and I just need brother so and so to put his hand on me and pray for me so that I can feel the power of God. But then he goes home and he acts completely different. His horizontal relationships are all messed up. God says that shouldn't be so. your prayers are going to be hindered. And so if you're praying something and it doesn't seem to be being answered, or it's not being answered in the way that you think it should be, you don't only need to worry about your horizontal relationships, but you need to worry about your vertical relationships. Wow, math teacher just messed up. You don't need to worry about your vertical relationships, but you also need to worry about your horizontal relationships to make sure that you don't have any ought with a brother or sister, that you don't have any problem with a brother and sister. If you do, you got to make it right. You've got to make it right. What's another reason? Number two, another reason why my prayers might not be answered. Maybe you have the wrong motive when you pray. And I can't judge that. I'm not judging you this morning. Once again, you're examining yourself and you're working out your own salvation. I'm just giving you some biblical advice, I hope. James chapter 4 and verse 3, it says this: and even when you ask, you don't get it, because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Pastor, I promised God if he'd let me win the lottery, I'd give 50% to the church. You laugh, but I've known people to pray the prayer. You know, I've known people to pray the prayer. I've known people to buy the tickets. I would just say, maybe, just maybe, not judging between you and God once again, but maybe, just maybe, your motives are wrong. Matthew 6, Jesus was talking here. He said this. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they will ever get. And I didn't write the rest of it down, but it says, but when you pray, find yourself a secret place. Find yourself a prayer closet. Find yourself an old-fashioned altar. Find yourself a place in the woods, or a place at the beach, a place where you're all alone, where it's just you and God, and nobody sees and nobody knows. But just so, because you don't need to be prayed. I don't need to be. I've shared it with you before, but when I was in Unionville, the first time I ever heard Phil Hodgkins pray, I was like, I'll admit, I was judgmental, and I've worked on that. But he started to pray in King James's. If it's thy will be done, and you know, and he just had the thes and the thous and the thys, and I'm 28 and I don't know nothing, right? And I know that was poor English. I do know that much, but I don't know a thing. And I'm thinking, who does this dude think he is? Honestly, it was 2001, right? We're in the 21st century. Come on, bud. King James was written in like 1611. We're talking like we're like 400 years past that. But I walked into Phil's house more than one occasion when he was on his knees praying around his kitchen table or in his living room, and he prayed the exact same way when he was by himself as when he was at the church. And that's all anybody can ever ask, is that you're going to be the same in public as you are in private. And if you need to pray in King James, God taught me a lesson the first time I walked into his house and I heard him crying. He took that, you know, some of you get nice fluffy hugs. I get Holy Ghost 2x4s. He took that Holy Ghost 2x4 and he just wound up and he nailed me right between the eyes and said, don't you ever judge how somebody prays. That's between me and them. And that's a lesson I learned a long time ago, is that you know, we all have to have our own prayer language, whether it be in the Holy Spirit, but we also have our own way of praying here on earth when we're praying in English, and that's okay. It's all about the motive. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it to bring glory and honor to God? Are you doing it to draw yourself closer to God? Are you doing it to find out God's will for your life? Or are you doing it to look good? Are you doing it to look good? I've been called out because I frequently say it's my pleasure, or excuse me, my privilege to have the opportunity to be here today. And they're like, I've been told that, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. But I honestly believe that every Sunday that I come to church, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be in Father's house. It's a privilege to, it's a privilege to gather together with brothers and sisters. It's a privilege. And not only is it a privilege, but it's another opportunity to hear from heaven. It's another opportunity to, for the Father to rain down, for the Holy Spirit to rain down and to minister and to encourage and to help and to heal and to bring hope and to bring all of those things. And so I'm just saying that, that once again, and this is my soapbox. If there was a soapbox of anything I've ever said, you gotta, it all comes back to your heart. What is your heart? What is your motive when you're praying? Are you praying to get or are you praying to give? Oh, come on now. Are you praying to be blessed or are you praying to be a blessing? I think so often we get so caught up in the healing instead of the healer. We get so caught up in the blessing instead of the blesser. We get so caught up in the helping instead of the helper. And the fact of the matter is that, that the blessing and the healing and the helping, those are byproducts, but it's all about the blesser, the helper, and the healer. Why are you praying? What is the motive behind what you're saying? Is there an ulterior? Oh, come on now. We could go down that rabbit trail for a long time. But we'll just kind of, we'll just mention it and move on. Do you have an ulterior motive? Number three, why aren't my prayers answered the way I think they should be? Maybe I lack faith. Maybe I don't truly believe God can do it. And I'm not saying all the time because I understand in Scripture it says that when you pray, you should pray the Lord's will be done. But I think sometimes we're praying in a month. I'll have prayed for 18 years for this shoulder. I have prayed for 18 years, and there have been times in my life where I have probably said, if it's your will, as a cop-out. Let's just be honest this morning, right? Because sometimes we do that. We use it as a cop-out. We do stuff. We use stuff as a cop-out because we were all I've got left to do is pray. I don't know. I mean, God, it works pretty good, and he functions with it, so maybe that's all that you have for him, but then once again, some of you get one of these. I get one of these, okay? It's just the way God and I work, and it's okay, and because I need those, because these don't really work for me, right? Personal space bubble. I've gotten over it a little bit, right? I'll give you guys a hug, but it's not in my nature, right? But I remember he was 8 days old. 9 days old. I'm sorry. He was born on a Friday. He was 9 days old and he was in church. And I remember it being prophesied. He hadn't moved his arm on that day. He hadn't moved his arm. 9 days. He hadn't moved a finger. 9 days. And it was spoken over him that he would be healed through the process. And as God is my witness today, not evangelistically speaking, not trying to play on your emotions, but as God is my witness, that afternoon, I went home, and for the first time, I saw my son move his fingers on his right hand. For the first time, right? And I know he's going to do it. But I'm just being honest with you, right? Sometimes you just lack faith. Sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes you're like, God, is this all you're going to do? Is this all you're capable of? And so once again, it gets back to the motive. But we got to believe. In Mark chapter 9, verse 20, it says, so they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. He fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. And how long has he been like this? Jesus asked. And the boy's father said, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. And what do you mean? Jesus asked, if I can. And then he went on to say, anything is possible. If you believe, you see, your faith matters when you pray. I think sometimes we just get into rote memorization where we have these prayers, and I've prayed this for so long that now I just say it. And I don't not believe, but I don't believe. I just say it because it's like singing off the wall. How many sometimes when you're in worship service and the words are on the wall and you're singing them because they're words on the wall, right? You're just singing them, but you're really kind of just going through the motions because you're not really thinking about the words and you're not really thinking about the meaning of the words. And I wonder how many times that when we pray that we don't even really think about what we're praying because we prayed it for so long and we've asked for so long. It's not that we do believe or don't believe. It's just what we've always done. And we've kind of got stuck in this rut of praying about it. And Jesus called this father out and says, "What do you mean? What do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if you believe." And so we have to believe. In fact, Jesus said over and over and over again in Scripture, he said, "It was done unto them according to their faith." In a couple of different places in the New Testament, Jesus said, "If you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast into the sea,' you know, and it's gonna happen." He says in another place that, you know, that if you have faith that you can talk to a mulberry bush and have it be plucked up and cast into the ocean. And over and over, Jesus reminds us that we gotta have faith. But so often I think we're like the old story of the pastor and the bartender, and there's a pastor of a local church and a bar opens up in town, and every day the pastor and some of the congregants, they go down and they pray that the bar would be closed down, that the bar would leave the community. Well, one night, lightning strikes the bar, and the bar burns down flat. So the bar owner says, "I'm taking that church to court." And he takes the church to court, and they go to court, and they present their case, and the judge sits there and says, "I can't believe it. I'm flabbergasted. I have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and a pastor who says that their prayer didn't cause the lightning to hit the bar. Where do you stand?" You know, and so often I wonder if we're like that. "Oh, there's no power in my prayer. Those were just words. I just went down to make a scene. I just went down I didn't really think it was going to happen." When you pray, you got to believe. The number four, and Special K, come on back and help me out. The fourth reason that my prayers maybe aren't answered is that maybe God has something different for me. Maybe I'm not praying the right prayer. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said, "I pray three times. I have this thorn in the flesh." And I've told you many times we can debate what that thorn is. Was it a person or was it a physical disease? A lot of people think it was maybe like some kind of a blindness or some kind of eye disease. But hey, it doesn't matter to me what it is, because all I know is I read it. "I prayed three times for this thorn in the flesh to happen, to be disappeared, to be gone away with." And when the Lord spoke to him, he didn't say, "Thorn, be gone." What did he say? He said, "My grace is sufficient." What does that mean? Well, I believe it means that the thorn stayed. I believe it means that God had something else for the Apostle Paul, that there was a lesson for the Apostle Paul, and not only a lesson for the Apostle Paul, but there was a lesson for us thousands of years later as we read the account of the story, that sometimes God has something different for us. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked for." As you read that, you say, "Well, Pastor, that has nothing to do with what you just said." Of course it does. Because the key word, I wouldn't have read it if it didn't, okay? Right? I wouldn't have read it if it didn't, right? If we ask anything according to His will. You see, His will matters more than our will. Some of us need to learn that. All of us need to learn that, right? I mean, I'm still working on that. I mean, His will matters more than my will. His desires for my life and His desires for my boys and His desires for Jen and His desires for the church and His desires for the youth department, and you can just continue it on. His will matters more than my will in all of those areas. His will matters more than your. I don't mean to pop your bubble this morning. I don't mean to offend you this morning. But the truth is, His will matters more than your will. Paul said, three times I wanted it to be gone. Three times, God, take it from me. Three times, God, it's an annoyance. It's a hindrance. It's too much. I don't want it anymore. Three times, God said, but it's not my will. It's my will for you to continue with that thorn. It's my will. I've got a different plan for your life. I've got a different plan. So this morning, just think about this. Think about this. The Apostle Paul wrote about half of the New Testament, thereabouts. 13 of the 27 books. Missionary journey after missionary journey after missionary journey, and planted churches and spoke into lives and trained people and trained pastors and left leaders there for so that the church could be successful and listen to God. Remember, at one time he wanted to go in one direction and God woke him up and said, oh, contrarius ab warfare, no, you can't go that way. You got to go in the other direction. And Paul's like, oh, okay. And a long story short, he ended up going in the other direction. And time after time after time, he did what was right. If anybody deserved to have their prayer answered, it would have been Paul. If anybody deserved to have the thorn removed, it would have been Paul. God said, but wait a minute. I've got something better for you. What do I believe about prayer? That's really kind of the end of it all to this morning. What do I believe about prayer? What do I believe about communicating with God? What do I believe? Prayer reminds me that I'm not in control. And it keeps me close to the one who is. Prayer is not so much about my wants, but it's God's will. Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love what it says. There's a statue built, and they're supposed to only pray to that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, oh no, we can't do that. We got to pray to the one true God. And so they've been caught in this trap, and everybody thinks that they're going to be done away with it. All right, we can finally get rid of these children of God. They've been given this power, and we don't like it, so let's get rid of them. And so the king, they come in before the king. The king says, boys, is it true? Is it true that you still won't bow to my idol? Is it true? You know, if you bow, all you gotta do is bow. This can all be done away with. All you gotta do is just get down on your knee and just say like six words, and then it'll be great. And I love what they say. The King James says, oh King, we're not careful to answer you. What's he say, King? We don't have to answer you. We don't really have to explain to you what's going on in our lives, but we're going to anyways. They say this, is our God. It's a great three-point message, by the way. I'll preach it someday. Our God, whom we serve, is able. Our God, whom we serve, is able. He's my God, King. It's not that 90-foot statue that really. Go ahead and say it's 9 feet wide, 90 feet tall. Science says it couldn't stand anyways. It's going to tip over. It's too heavy. It won't make it. They'd have to do all kinds of guide wires and stuff. But anyways, I digress. It's not a statue. It's not you. It's not a little fat Buddha with a belly hanging out and a head to rub. But our God, the one true God. We might have come over here and be in imprisonment. We might have come over here because you defeated our land. But he's still my God. And I'm going to serve him. Oh, you can. I love what it says that they said. It said that Daniel and the boys in chapter 1 of Daniel verses 8 and 9 said that they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. There's good preaching. You see, we purposed in our heart a long time ago that he's the God that we're going to serve. And we believe without a shadow of a doubt that he is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, let it be said that we didn't bow to your blessed idol. Let it be said that we didn't serve a false God. Let it be written in the annals of history that we didn't bend and we didn't bow, because our God whom we serve is able. This is what you got to know about prayer. God wants to answer your prayer. God is able to answer your prayer. But if he doesn't, you still got to believe. You still have to believe. God can, God will, but if he doesn't, I still believe. This morning, with every head bowed, God can answer your prayer. God is able to answer your prayer. But if he doesn't, will you still believe this morning? If it feels like God's let you down, if it feels like God's maybe failed you, maybe disappointed you, whatever it is. And I'll tell you this, God hasn't. God can't fail you. But sometimes our feelings and our emotions get wrapped up and we get caught up in them. But you feel like he's let you down. You feel like he hasn't answered your prayer. Maybe he has answered your prayer, but you don't like the answer you've gotten. I just encourage you to examine yourself. Is there a broken relationship somewhere? Are there wrong motives? Is there a lack of faith? Maybe God's got something better for you. More than you have for yourself. I can't explain why. I can't explain why you're going through what you're going through right now. I can't explain why I'm going through what I'm going through right now. I can't explain why. But what I know, that God has you in his hand. God has me in his hand. What I know is that in spite of everything, I still believe. I still believe. And this morning, the altar call is simple. If you feel like some way, somehow, God hasn't answered a prayer the way you wanted it to, that some way, somehow, there's something missing in your life, there's some disappointment, there's some distraction. But this morning you want to say, I believe he can. I believe he will. But in spite of it all, no matter what, I believe. I believe. As I pray, if that's you, I'm just going to invite you to come down to the altars. Let's spend some time just talking to God and allowing him to speak encouragement, to speak hope, help, healing, whatever it is that you need this morning. You got to believe that he's able. Would you come, precious Heavenly Father? Lord, I love you this morning. God, I thank you. God, I don't always understand why. Lord, none of us understand why all the time. But Father God, this morning, Lord God, we're here to say that no matter what, we still believe. No matter what, God. We believe. Are there more? Are there more this morning? I don't want anyone to miss out. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Oh, King, we're not careful to answer you. Our God, whom we serve, is able. But if he doesn't, we still believe. My faith in God and my trust in God and my hope in God is a non-negotiable. Circumstances and situations. Father, Lord God, just invite somebody down here, God's laid them on your heart. Would you come and pray with them? Don't let them be alone this morning. Be the family that God has called you to be. And help and bear the burden of your brothers and sisters. Would you come?